Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 170, the conclusion. This is part two, Sow in the Wind, Reap Under Clouds. Today is Sunday, October 24th, 2010. And welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you live anywhere in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. Also, join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find scripture links within the messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. For the month of October, these are the following messages: God's peace, wonderful peace. Jesus trusted in God to deliver. Can we live life earnestly? Sow in the wind, reap under clouds, and made willing. So have a great month of October. We'll see you back here every week, both Friday and Sunday. God bless you.
Well, how about? No, shut up. I don't want to hear about the how abouts. Oh, I can't handle this. It's too much responsibility. Let me out. Oh, God, I hear people say that all the time. Don't you ever feel that way? I says continually, constantly, and always, but I'm trusting in God. Well, one guy told me, he says, I don't mind the people. It's their geographic setting that I disagree with. I've never liked the north side. Well, what's that got to do with the people? No, I mean, if you could move the people out someplace, then you could get to them, but their geographic setting, that's what disturbs me. No, I'll say right now, if you don't sow right where you're at, you aren't going to reap. But, Pastor, couldn't you do the same work if you had your church out in the suburbs and you had your mission down here? No! See, in all these kind of idiotic things, see, you can go on making excuse after excuse, but it won't hold any water. Let me go a little further. You may unduly consider circumstances in reference to the business of your own eternal life. You say, oh, I can't be saved, you listening on the radio. What's that got to do with it? God is the author of that. Yeah, but the Bible says repent. Ah, that's where the crux is. Do you actually think that you're able to repent on your own? God is the one that repents, and He gives you the spirit of repentance so that you even want to repent. You, salvation is of God entirely. And you'll hear these people yell, repent! No, the Holy Spirit gives the people the spirit of repentance. Oh, you can say you're sorry. I'm sorry. How many times your kids say they're sorry and go back and do the same thing over again? I'm sorry. You ever going to do it again? No. No, I promise. Huh? I remember one time I told my mother I was sorry about it. I don't know, dozens of times. And then I came home and I seen her laying in her great big fat arms weeping. And that's what changed me. Say amen. God gave me the spirit of repentance. Whew. Don't live by your feelings. But I don't feel like praying anymore, guy called the other. I just don't feel like praying. I said, what's that got to do with praying? But I don't feel like it. I can't grasp the promises anymore. I have no joy. So what? Don't try to figure it out. Just simply sow the seeds of joy. Well, here's a bag of joy seeds. It says on there, joy. You want to sow them? You're just going to sit there. Well, man, I just feel stormy weather. Stormy weather, huh? You open up the bag. And you open up the bag. And you grab some joy seeds. Whatever you sow to, you're going to reap back. Will I get it right away? Well, some of them are immediate joy seeds. Some of them come 10, 15, 20 after you leave here, joy seeds. You don't know. And you take them out of the bag and you start to say, yeah, but there's rocky soil over there on the north side. It's real hard dirt too. God didn't say to look at the soil and kick at the rock. He said so. He's the one that will break up that ground. He's the one that can split rocks. See, I know in my ministry I'm going to annoy people. I hope I annoy them. Why? So that they'll sow seeds. I don't have no joy. There's a bag. Get busy. Start sowing. Huh? You have to sow those seeds. Here. You going to hold on to them? You know, if you hold on to them, you'll have them. But they aren't going to grow in your hand. They might even take on your bitter spirit. You hold God's word and God's seed, and what you can do with God's word and God's seed is turn it around and even make it bitter by holding on to it. And you start preaching it and you start training the seeds up to what you want it to do. No, grab the seeds of joy. Maybe you don't have no joy with where you're at right now. Start sowing the seeds of joy. Well, what does that mean? That means sow joy. That means give somebody else joy. That means give them a part of your life. Give them the joy of the Lord. It means give something. Oh, I just feel so useless and so down and so pitiful and such a waste of my life and so on like that. It's not too late to start sowing seeds. I didn't start till I was almost 40 years old. How old are you now? None of your business. See, my hope is not in myself, it's in Jesus Christ. Oh, our hope is in the finished work of Christ, and let's go on. And if we go on and we sow, we're going to reap it. Because if we keep on regarding the winds and the rains and the clouds, we're never going to sow and we're never going to reap. Now, I think it is a great lesson to learn in spiritual things also, don't you? That God is the God of the mountain and God is the God of the valley. Well, I'm in a valley right now. Guess who's there with you? God is there with you. Whew. Oh, guy says, you know how I measure my safety? By my comfort. Well, he says, what's that got to do with being safe? How you feel comfortable? My safety is in the Lord, no matter how I feel. How many are hearing this? Now, then let me close here with my second observation. It is this. Such unwise consideration involves us in many sins. Well, you can start looking at your situation and you can get disobedient to the Lord. God, I'm in a real situation here. I'm going to fade. You know when people fade? They just sort of fade. Is this message a shocker to you today? Oh, God, I hope it's a shocker to you. I hope it is. I want to kill it. I want to blow away all the clouds so everybody can see where I'm at. Now I want to get rid of all the rain and all this kind of thing so people can see where I'm at because, hey, God is in what I'm doing and that's what I'm going to do. Say amen, somebody. Oh, let's be honest, people. Let's just be honest. Preacher, don't be honest. Hey, what? I'll probably be the most honest preacher in Minneapolis. Well, sometimes it doesn't pay to be honest. I will be. I have ministered about myself since beginning of day one from that pulpit area, and I will continue to do so. At least you'll know what I'm saying is the truth. And it'll set you radio audiences free to turn me off. Oh, you're too realistic. We don't want to hear that. Do you want your obedience to always be rewarded by a spoonful of sugar? Do you want to be like a trained seal that gets a fish for blowing Yankee Doodle Dandy on a few horns? Doesn't happen that way. Are you such a baby who will do nothing unless you get a little treat or a little toy after? No, a man in Christ Jesus will do right, though it shall involve him in losses and crosses and slanders and rebukes, even martyrdom. Now, I am killing it today. God, I wanted to stab this thing in the back. I got it on the run. My God, I got it on the run. Now I'm going to stab it in the backside. Say amen. Isn't that the way to do it? Oh, poor Pastor Paul. Hey, don't feel sorry for me. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling like I'm telling the truth, and I got the devil. I'm agreeing with the adversary, and I'm going to shake him down right now. Say amen, somebody. Hey. Yeah. And there'll be nothing left to talk about. Oh, God, you've ruined the conversation and the slander. Oh, Paul. Oh, I hate you. Hold up. What's new? I got a natural protection down here on the north side. No one comes down. Did you hear that out there? I have a natural protection. I'm surrounded. You'll have to fly over in a helicopter and drop pamphlets. How many here? Too truthful? I got to get it out. Maybe we're guilty of unbelief. We can't sow because of the wind. But then who manages the wind? Who is in control anyway? Oh, man, you're causing a storm right now, fella. Well, I'd rather have it rain and be done with. I hate the silence. You ever been in a silence before a storm? In South Dakota, on the prairie, in Kansas, on the prairie, before the storm, there's a still. And you come out of the movie. I remember coming out of the movie one night. And I come out and say, and hot and still. Even the birds weren't chirping. And even the, what do you call them, crickets weren't rubbing their legs together. Nothing was happening. I hate the still before the storm. I remember when I was in Golden Gloves, I'd get in and my legs would be like this. And I'd try to steady them up and stiffen them up, and then my back would shake. I'd try to get my back straight and my ears would quiver. Huh? And I tried to do one of these things on the end and the legs gave out. Oh, God. You know what got me out of it? A poke right in the face. Anybody want to poke me in the face? Go ahead, take a shot. I am not going to observe the wind or the rain because God is not the author of confusion. And where is your faith anyway? Well, you say, I can't serve God until I get a witness. Oh, some people got to have 13 goose pimples on their kneecap or their left elbow or something. I can't serve God until I'm moved. When I can see some hope of success. Isn't that a poor service, devoid of all faith? And doesn't the Bible say, without faith, it is impossible to please God? And my God, this message takes a lot of faith. To preach something like this takes a lot of faith. Because either you people are going to love me or you're going to hate my guts. You listen, I know that ain't true in here, but maybe some people, I don't know, but I know out there on Radio Land is the truth. It takes faith to preach the truth. But I believe just in proportion to the quantity of faith that there is in what we do, in that proportion will it also be acceptable to God. Yes, I do. And observing the winds and clouds is unbelief. Oh, you can call it prudence. But I believe unbelief is its real true name. The next thing I see is rebellion. Rebellion. When we don't listen to God and we say, God, it is too heavy out there. The weather is too heavy. Lord, I'm being crushed by these rains and by these clouds of affliction. No, it's when you can sing. I'm going to love you like nobody's loved you, come rain or come shine. Happy together in all kinds of weather, come rain or come shine. Days may be cloudy and stormy. We're in or we're out of the money. But oh, I'm going to love you. What? Come rain or come shine. Whew. I'm going to love the Lord, come rain or come shine. And oh, God. It's just like when you preach a message like this, people get off the radio and they're going to run to the phone. Flash, flash, flash. And like newspaper people. Oh, you should get that tape. Listen to the radio. Oh, listen next Wednesday or Thursday. It'll be on. Oh, it's so God-awful. I don't believe it. Oh, my. No, it's wonderful. It's wonderful because it's the truth and it doesn't have nothing to do with what God has called me to do. I am going to do the will of God no matter what happens. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? so many people aiming at God's throne. Oh, yeah. We want to get up there and manage his things for him. Why is this happening to me, Lord? Isn't there a song like that? Why me, Lord? Is this all necessary? Why don't you alter my circumstances? I put in a lot of claims. And I, by faith, say this trial is over. I'm putting a quit to it right now. Say amen, somebody. Do you ever sometimes just walk into the boss's office and just tell him what you thought? Say amen. That's what you have to do with the devil. Now, I'm not saying your boss is the devil. Sometimes you have to agree with the adversary and you have to walk right up and you just have to be honest about it. Say amen, somebody. But also, there is another sin we are guilty of, and that's foolish fear. God said, fear not. You know why you don't have to fear? If you're obeying the Lord. And you'll always have the criticizers out there. Ain't got nothing to do with obeying the Lord, has it? How many hearing this message today? It hasn't been an easy one to preach. But I'm feeling better. My lungs are free. Oh, my legs aren't shaking anymore. Huh? I'm feeling better. Are you feeling better? There'll be preachers that will call me and say, you know what? My God, man, what are you doing? I mean, there's such a thing as preaching too much truth. Mm-hmm. Well, what have I said here today? Either we start to be honest and we start to be truthful about what we're doing, or just shut up. Say amen, somebody. Well, I'm going to go on down here. Ooh. Oh. There's no sound coming out of the sound room. Two of my very best friends sit right back there in the sound room. My whole board is standing with me on this thing because they know that I am dedicated to doing the job down here. Whew. Oh, God. God, help us down here on this north side. This is nothing to be ashamed of down here. It is a work of the Lord. I'm going to prove it by doing a great many things. The Lord says, give a portion to seven, also eight. Talk about Jesus wherever that we go. And you know what? Your harvest will start to show up. Either people are going to like you or they're going to dislike you, and that's the way the tree falls. It's either going to fall this way or it's going to fall that way. Say amen, somebody. God has made me full of grace, and that's what I'm going to pour out on people. And I'm going to prove it by not knowing how God works all the time. Say amen, somebody. I don't have to know how God works all the time. There's a great many mysteries to the Bible, isn't there? I don't have to know everything. I'm not going to let the winds or the clouds of inventions and false Christs fool me. I'm not going to get all excited about somebody that went to heaven. Because I got a work to do right down here. And I am challenged, and I am challenging it right now. I'm challenging other people on the radio right now to, hey, if you feel like you want to be with it, set your face towards your Jerusalem and set your face like a flint to serve God. By maintenance of his truth and by a holy life and by your Christian character. And you know something? Sometimes you lose your reputation, but you're a man of character. Well, I know I'm a character. But you lose your reputation, but you got character. You aren't going to be liked by everybody. That hasn't got nothing to do with it either. How many heard this message today? I feel like you guys are the Pope and I am making my confession. Now, you can't tell this message to anybody else. It's on the radio. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter anyway. What matters in my life is that I have to tell the truth. See, I'm in a situation here where I'm in a ministry of ministering to the poor. My wife is a minister in her own right. She's got a totally different ministry. It's a real situation, isn't it? Oh, boy. How'd you like to be in that situation? You got enough problems? I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that you've got enough problems of your own. Because, you see, honey, that'll keep you busy, won't it? I wish everybody felt that way. But a lot of people don't. They want to take on your burdens, too, don't they? Oh, poor Pastor Paul. Hey, I'm healing. See all these lumps? They'll be gone in a little while. My nose will come out again like one of those Dobie boys. You ever been on those things where they... I had one up here one time. You hit them and they go down and they come back up again. What do they call those? Snoopies or something? Huh? Oh. You know what they call those? Man, I wound up... What? Punching bags, but something like a punching bag. I hit that thing as hard as I could, dislocated my arm, and it came right back up again. Now I'm gaining strength now. I've been through this. I gave up my ministry. I said this. I gave it up for 3 months to see if I could do it last summer. Oh, my God, I was so miserable. I didn't believe. I didn't give it up. I mean, I just didn't preach. And I carried on down the mission, and I was walking around. God, I said, I can't do this. So I tried it. I tried giving it up. And I tried leaving the north side, but I couldn't do it. God knows I tried, and I'm sorry for trying. It didn't work. And boy, am I glad it didn't work. You know why? Because it's just a blessing to be down here on the north side serving God in this capacity. And either people are going to help us down here or they aren't. It doesn't matter, see. And either God is the one that's going to cause us to stand or to fall. It isn't people. See, it isn't that at all. I cannot believe the competition and the bitterness that's shown to a work of God that's going on the north side. It's really hard for me to fathom. I never believed there was that much bitterness in the body of Christ. But God is dealing with us all, and we're going to come around. And you know what's going to happen to us? We're going to get together. Sooner or later, all the Christian brothers and sisters are going to get together. Because the Bible says so. Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Are you going through hard times? Anybody here going through hard times right now? Right back there? How about you? You going through a hard time? I'm not going to ask you how hard a hard time. It's just a hard time. How hard can it get? Oh, I don't know. I thought 14 years ago I was in the hardest time of my life. And then 13 years ago, I thought, this has got to be the hardest thing. If I go through this, God, I'll make it. Now, I know people can relate with this. I know it because I feel the spirit of relating here. I am relating. And then I said, okay, at 12 years, oh, this is terrible. Oh, my God. If I can make it through this, Lord, if I can make it through it. And 11 years, oh, God, I don't believe it. This has got to be almost death. Oh, God. And God said, that's the point. Die. And then the 10th year, I thought, God's left me. Nobody loves me. Jesus, help me, help me. And then the 9th year, and the 8th year, and the 7th year I came down here, had a mass exodus of 400 and some people. I mean, they ran, their tennis shoes were smoking, making it back out to the suburbs. Believe it or not, I filled this whole church. One person lost some hubcaps, another guy had his window busted, and a whole 100 at a time, they were looking for excuses. Rainy weather, and storm clouds, and they left. I thought, oh, God, what am I going to do now? Oh, God. Oh, my friends! They didn't hear me. Oh, Lord. That about the sixth year, I had guys out there passing out pamphlets on my church. Yeah. I mean, they actually printed up stuff and brought it into the north side. God, what am I going to do? This is terrible. Jesus, help me, help me, help me. The fifth year, I won't even go into it. And that one even shakes me yet, thinking about it. And the fourth year, and the third, and now we're down to now. And I was thinking just the other day, I thought, God, what more can happen to me? You know what? I'm going to stop thinking that. Really, I am. I'm going to say, go ahead, let her fly, whichever way the tree drops, that's okay. But, you know, I start to figure this thing out. And boy, I tell you, you can get fearful and say, man, if 14 and 13 and 12 and 11, you know what I mean, and 10 and 9 and 8 and 7 and 6 and 5 and 4 and 3 and 2 and 1 were bad, what's going to happen next? What next? Don't worry. It'll be better than the last time. You call it worse, but God will call it better. Until you die. Until they put on your tombstone. He lives X amount of years and he died. That's all God says about people when they die. Did you ever read that in the Bible? So-and-so lived so many years, he did this and he did that and so on, and he died. So I'm going to die. So you're going to die. We're all going to. The point I've tried to make here today is don't get to looking at the clouds of the past or in the future or the rain clouds or the ones that are there in the present and all that, but keep your eyes stayed on Christ. Keep running the race and don't worry about the storm clouds of opinions and all these different things, and just tell the truth. You got something going on, just say, hey, that's the way it is. Now, I'm just told you today, that's the way it is in my life. What can I do about it? Nothing. But you know what I can do? I can keep sowing. That's what I'm going to do. Go with